Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
As always, excited about being with you, especially at this time of the year. This is, we just had a Valentine's Day, and I hope you and the one you love had a chance to kind of snuggle up close and be tight and enjoy the thoughts of having someone in your life that loves you. We certainly care about you very much here at Home and Family Finance. We're in our 10th year of talking to you about things that have a great impact on your home, your family, and your finances, and primarily your finances, because I ask the question every week, are you financially fit? And that should be the name of the program, Financially Fit. It's so important. And what do I mean? I mean, are you making more than you spend? It's so very basic. Are you making more money than you spend? If you are, you are going to be in a happy place. If you are not, you know the stress that goes with that. Everything from payday lenders to borrowing money to dodging the bill collector to not having the appliances or the things that you want in your life. Don't spend more than you make. Now, the other part of this being financially fit, do you have 6 months of survival funds? That's what I call them. These are 6 months of survival money that is untouchable. And the total of that money is what your 1 month expenses would be. You add up everything that you pay out, that you're supposed to pay out, that you have to pay out. Whatever that total is, folks, that I want you to put that aside for 6 months. And the way you do it is you just double up every month and put aside, so, okay, I got to pay this. And it's not easy. Sometimes maybe you have to do it two or three times to get your rent or your house payment. But do this until you finally have 6 months of those survival funds put away. Untouchable. Now, it's difficult. It's not easy. I understand that, but just think, if something happens, something untoward happens, how are you going to live? But I can't even begin to make you understand how good it will feel to know that sitting over in your bank account, that you can live for 6 months until things get better, until you find another job or whatever has caused you the stress, until it passes. But you're able to continue taking care of your family, taking care of yourself for those 6 months. Okay, that's why I stress you to do that. Try it. Just start getting started. You'd be surprised how quickly you can accumulate the monies that you need that's sitting there. And you're making money. Put it in an account that pays you money. All right? And I also then want you to have 3 months of what I call emergency funds. Now, what is that? Well, we all have family, friends, loved ones, people who think we love them, people we do love. And all of them from time to time have a problem. They have an emergency. And guess who they call? You know, I really hate to call you about this, but, you know, I got a real problem here, and I need – could you just let me have? I don't want you dipping into your survival funds to let them have anything. You care about them. You love them. But the survival funds are untouchable. But the emergency fund you can use. And you say, okay, I'll give this, and you give it back. You may or may not see it again, okay? But at least you know that you haven't hurt yourself. And finally, I want you – to save at least 5% of everything you make. I don't care where it comes from. 5%, put it in that savings. Put it toward making your life, making you feel good about your life, feeling comfortable. It's a comfort level. 5%. And you can save more. I'm just suggesting that at the very least you put aside 5% of what you make. Okay? Now, if you do all of that, you're going to be a happy camper until the 15th of April comes. And on the 15th of April, guess what? It's known as Tax Day. It is a day when you have to – it's a day of reckoning with Uncle Sam. And he must be reckoned with. Trust me, I know from whence I speak it. Okay? We're talking about that right now because that date is the 15th. Actually, it's a little bit later, I think, than that. But the person that knows all there is to know about this is joining me now. Sandra Block is Kiplinger editor, and she is known around there as their tax expert. And, folks, we have her, and we're so good to have her here. She's going to give us some good news for those of you filing your own taxes. Sandra Block, welcome to Home and Family Finance again.
Thank you for having me.
It is always a pleasure. You know what? The thing I love is the contrast between how you sound cheerful, lovely, and what you're talking about. Boo.
Something nobody likes to talk about.
I know, but we can take it from you. We can take it from you, Sandy, because you sound lovely about this, but it is that time of the year again, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And as you pointed out, actually people get a little more time this year. The tax filing deadline is April 18th this year, so people get a little more time to file. But even then, it tends to creep up on people. If you've been procrastinating, it'll come soon enough.
And let's talk about that real quick, and we can get back to it. If you have procrastinated, and if you can't make the deadline, don't ignore this. What should you do?
File an extension. It's so easy. It's just one form. And now, it doesn't give you an extension to pay, so if you owe, that's not going to work for you. But most people get a refund. And if you don't have your stuff together, why rush and risk making a mistake or shortchanging yourself? File for an extension, and then you get until October to file your tax return. It's very easy. You don't have to give a reason. You could do it electronically or, you know, through the mail. But that's an option that people should definitely take advantage of if it gets to be April 13th, 14th, and they're just not ready.
That's right. And if you're going to miss the deadline, there's no option not to file. You've got to either file or file an extension. Otherwise, you're going to run into penalties, okay? And when we come back, we'll talk about those penalties and what you can do and what you should do. And what about free filing? If I do it myself, can I make this happen? We'll ask Sandra that if that's a good way to go. All of this coming up next year on Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
We're actually talking taxes with the cheerful Sandra Block from Kiplinger. She is a tax expert here and has written extensively about this, and you can read anything that she's writing in the Kiplinger newsletter. You go to kiplinger.com. Is that right? Is that the right address?
Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine or kiplinger.com is where I write.
Okay. So there may be some things or other questions that we don't have here, but Sandra certainly is available give you the information that you need. Now, everybody's talking about, but a lot of folks, well, not everybody, because a lot of folks don't talk taxes, but they have to pay them. But they are concerned about the so-called free, if you file yourself, good news for those filing their own taxes. Sandra, what is the good news?
The good news is that because the tax software providers are very competitive, they have expanded their free offerings. In the past, most of the free offerings were limited to people who had very simple returns, 1040EZ, sometimes 1040A. But if you itemize, you own a home, you have kids, a lot of times you weren't eligible. Well, this year there are several new entrants that are offering free federal and maybe even state preparation and filing for people who have more complex tax returns. Probably the most interesting one is H&R Block, which is really trying to get a piece of the tax software market. And they introduced a product this year that is called More Zero. And if you own a home, you itemize, and you claim charitable deductions, mm-hmm. you can use this program for free. So it's really, you know, it covers a lot of people who maybe in the past had to pay to file their taxes. So that one's definitely worth checking out. Another new one this year is there's a company called Credit Karma that has been offering free credit reports. Well, now they're offering a free tax prep program, and it is basically available to almost everybody, even people with investment or self-employment income. So I think people might want to check these out and see if they suit them. Mm-hmm. You can usually try them out for free, and as I said, it could save you a lot of money.
Well, how does this work now? Do I have to buy something, their software, or do I have to download? How does this work, Sandra?
No, you just go to their websites, and we have them all on our on the story that I wrote for our website, kiplinger.com. You know, you go to the link, you go to their website, and basically you just, you know, put in your information. You don't have to pay anything up front. And what I do warn people about in any free program, make sure you read carefully the fine print, because sometimes people will get to the end and find out that they have to pay to file their state return or that there's some extra payment they didn't realize. But in the two that I mentioned, the H&R Block product, the Credit Karma product, there's really no catch to it. You know, like I said, you don't have to put in a credit card number to use these programs. And if you start using it and decide you don't like it, you can just bail out. It doesn't cost you anything.
So, but if it does, if and when it does cost you something, I mean, how does H&R Block or Credit Karma, how do they make their money?
Well, different ways. H&R Block is basically trying to get you interested in their product. So as your tax situation becomes more complicated, you'll be willing to pay. So this is just a way to try and sort of get more customers. Credit Karma is a little more interesting. They and you can opt out of this, but their sort of program model is that they pitch you stuff. You know, they use your information to say, well, this income, you might qualify for this credit card. Now, that if that makes you uncomfortable, you can opt out of it.
They Facebook you. Is what I call it. you know, on Facebook, before you see the video, you got to go through 30 seconds of their spot. You know, so and that's what Credit Karma Facebooks you. They give you they tease you with stuff and if you can put up with it, then you actually can use their facilities and file tax free.
That's right, and theirs really is free. I mean, they don't, you know, there's a few situations where you may not be able to use the program, but you're not going to get to the end and find out you have to pay.
And okay, so then the next question, okay, I get that. And my next question, Sandra, is how accurate am I fit to do this? I mean, I haven't done my, I've always used somebody else. Can I figure this out and get it done?
It really depends on your own circumstances, because as good as these programs are, they're only as good as the information that you put in.
Uh-huh.
And if you have it, the one advantage of a tax preparer is they'll sit down with you and ask you. I think it depends on your circumstances. If you have a simple tax return, there is no reason to pay anybody to file your tax.
Wow.
If you're self-employed, you have a lot of investments, rental income, it may be worthwhile paying somebody to pay
your
tax.
I got it. Read your situation. Sandra Block is my guest, Kiplinger's tax expert. She's with us. When we come back, we'll talk some more things that you might want to know here on Home and Family Finance. It is tax season, folks. Let's get your taxes done. Stop procrastinating. Do your taxes. We'll be right back. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I am your host, Paul Berry, and very pleased to be with you here on the Radio America Network. My guest today is Sandra Block. She is an editor, Kiplinger editor, and she is also their tax expert, and you can read about what she's written about on Kiplinger.com. Look, the exciting part of this and the new part of this is that you truly can file your own taxes for free. And that is new, isn't it, Sandra?
It is. And the one thing people shouldn't overlook as well is that the IRS has its own free filing program. If your adjusted gross income last year was $64,000 or less, you can go to irs.gov/freefile. And there's 12 different private programs that you may be eligible to use. And these programs do not discriminate. You know, you don't have to have a 1040 Easy or 1040A. You can have a complicated program and still use this. And I think often people, because the other programs are promoted more heavily, people don't check out the IRS option, but it is there. And it is, if you meet the income requirements, it's a very easy way to file your federal and maybe your state tax return for free.
And folks, let me also suggest to you this. Uncle Sam is not out to get you. I've had people go, I would use the IRS, but they're going to know more. They're going to use what they find out to come after me. No, they're not. That's not what this is about.
No, they're not. And actually, the IRS already knows so much about you. They don't need free file. I mean, what trips people up when they file their taxes is they don't realize that so many of the things that you get are also filed with the IRS. Your W-2, your 1099s, these things are already with the IRS. They already know this stuff. So, you know, free file isn't going to tell them a lot more. And I think that you know, a lot of people get really annoyed that they have to pay to file their taxes. You know, in addition to paying their taxes, they have to pay to file their taxes. Sometimes it's worthwhile, but if that really bothers you, I think there are options, and they really, you know, in the case of IRS Freefall, it's not a trick. I mean, it's just a partnership with private companies that lets you file your taxes for free.
And folks, the other part of, and the senator made it very clear, you have to know what your circumstances are. Some things are complicated to the degree that you not only have to pay for it, but you're going to need somebody with expertise to get you through that. And if that's what you need, do it. Don't shy away from that. Which brings me to another part of this whole thing, Sandra, because people are buzzing now about how do I keep from getting ripped off? Am I more likely to get ripped off by scammers or cheats because I'm filing my own taxes than if not?
I don't think it really, you mean as opposed to using a tax preparer?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
tax
right.
fraud. No, I think tax refund fraud kind of crosses the board. I don't think filing your. Now, the one thing I will say is if you file your own taxes for free online, you do need to be very aware of security and make sure that you use good passwords and. Mm-hmm. That you don't fall. One of the scams that's come up is phishing emails that purport to come from your tax preparation company that, you know, try to get you to give up information. Always interact with them by logging on to their website. Don't respond to emails. So there are steps you should take to protect your information. But I think if you take those steps, you're not more vulnerable than using a tax preparer, and you should ask a tax preparer what steps he or she is taking
sure.
as well.
That's right. And I think the point that you're making, I don't want to gloss over that, is the tax man's not going to just call you and say, hey, let me help you do your taxes. If you get that kind of call, be aware. I mean, you have to start the action as opposed to somebody from the IRS calling you to help you pay your tax. It ain't going to work that way, right?
Yeah, and the big scam now is that you know, people will say they're from the IRS and that you owe taxes, and if you don't pay them right now, the IRS does not call people on the phone, and it doesn't email either. You know, IRS pretty much interacts by sending you mail, old-fashioned way.
Yep.
So if you get a call from the IRS, it's almost certainly bogus.
Right. I get the letters from them, the mail from them. But listen, I'm just like you folks. You know, I was late sometimes before paying my time. I've learned my lesson, and they will contact you via mail. That's just that simple. And by the way, if you have any question, folks, Sandra, if people have any question, call the IRS and ask about who's contacted you. That's important, isn't it?
Yeah, and again, I think if someone's calling you, usually it's a scammer, but you can certainly double check that with the IRS.
Okay, now let's again tell people how they can reach out to you, please.
All of our tax information is on kiplinger.com. We have tax tips. We have tax breaks. We have tons of information about, you know, deductions you might overlook, the forms that you need. So if you go to our website, you'll find all kinds of information that I think will be helpful either in doing your own taxes or getting your stuff together so somebody else can do them for you.
Folks, it's very comprehensive. You may not reach Sandra Block, and I don't mean to suggest that you will, but what you will find is all the information that you need right there if you go to Kiplinger. It's all right laid out there. And, of course, you can go to the IRS as well. Everything is out there. Above all else, either file your taxes or file for an extension and get it done. Get it done and get it won, as a commercial says. Sandra, thanks for joining us. Come back again, would you?
Okay, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you. You are delightful. Sandra Block from Kiplinger. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us, folks.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
I'm always pleased to be able to serve my military audience, not specifically, but as a part of our program, part of what we talk about. Very often has a lot to do with their lives, about the transition from military to civilian life, making that transition. And also answering questions. You know, they've got this new blended retirement program going on that we talked about last week on the show. And it's important because it now means that they have some options. They have a portable system where they can take their money with them and make transitions that work for them. There are a couple of articles that came out recently that were written by my next guest, Doug McCormick, no stranger here, successvets.com. There are a couple of articles that one's on Stars and Stripes, and if you know what the Stars and Stripes are, that tells me you've never been in the military. But anyway, that's a publication, and we're very pleased to have Doug McCormick with us. I'll tell you a little bit about him here. He is a very interesting fellow. He's a graduate from West Point, was a captain in the United States Army. After leaving the military, folks, he got his MBA from Harvard Business, and today he's co-founder and managing partner at HCI Equity. I'll tell you what that is, as well as a board member of Team Red, White, and Blue. Tell you what that is. He has a new book, which we talked about briefly. It had just come out, called Family Inc., and it's doing very well. And we're very pleased to have him back to talk about some principles that will help you maximize your family's wealth, especially if you're in the military, but not just that. This is for everybody. How are you?
I'm great, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You're a busy man.
No complaints. No complaints. It's an important topic, and so happy to be here to talk about it.
Yeah, and you. Let's talk about you for a minute. You got two children.
Right? I do.
A couple of animals.
Two dogs. They keep me busy. Both. I chase the kids and the dogs around. So,
where do you live?
I live in McLean, Virginia. Okay. So I work downtown D.C. and live out in the burbs.
In your own business? So
I'm a co-founder at HCI Equity Partners, and we essentially manage money for very large institutions, foundations, insurance companies, that kind of thing.
Okay. So they give you a portion of their dollars to invest and reinvest or whatever you do,
correct,
right?
Correct. Okay. Yep.
Okay. What do you like? Well, before I get there, Red, White, and what is that?
So Team Red, White, and Blue is an organization that promotes community in the veteran community through physical fitness. Mm-hmm. And there are numerous chapters throughout the country. It's just a fantastic organization. It's, I think, one of the up-and-coming veteran service organizations in America today.
Doug, most people, and I mean most people, get out of the military and they go about their business, leave it alone, and then they go on about making money, and they've served their country. We thank you for your service and others. But that's not you. What is it? What's clogging up there in terms of doing something always with the military in mind?
You know, it's interesting. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Team Red, White, and Blue, and I think it explains some of my behaviors. I think many service members, they get out of the service and they find something missing, and it's that sense of community and the opportunity to give back. And so I've gotten involved with Team RWB because of that, but I've also, in my mission to kind of promote financial literacy and economic empowerment in the veteran community, it's really been about seeing a need and feeling tremendous gratification because I've been able to give back. And so it's been a wonderful journey for me personally.
Is that why you wrote to Family Inc.? Why did you?
Yeah, absolutely. Not just for the military community. I personally believe that financial literacy is the biggest problem in America that no one's paying attention to. So we've got lots of problems. But the one that no one's talking about in my mind is financial literacy. I think the financial game of life has changed, the way people work, the way they retire, the investment options, the social safety nets like Social Security and pensions. They're all very different. And I think there needs to be a more informed conversation both at the dinner table at home, in our schools, and then good content out there in the form of things like my book, FamilyInc.com.
And tell me about your book, FamilyInc.com.
So the book title is Family Inc., Using Business Principles to Maximize Your Wealth. And essentially what the book says is if we looked out at the examples of the kind of tools and thinking that businesses use and we applied that to our own decision-making and our personal finance, we'd come to some very different conclusions, and we would also likely be better off financially. And so I use many of the principles that businesses are using today to be successful and apply that to an individual's family circumstances. And I think the real thing that is helpful about the book or unique is it's very holistic. So it doesn't just cover investing. It covers career management. It covers insurance. It covers retirement. And it provides people a framework. So it's not about me telling you what is right. Mm-hmm. It's about the reader understanding the framework and applying it to their own circumstances. So the results are custom to your circumstances.
Your wife happy?
I'm sorry?
Is your wife happy?
For the most part.
Let me tell you why I asked the question. I'm being a little slick there, but my point is that you are an organized individual.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, really organized things that take place. I'm not quite so organized, but I am, okay? But yeah. The person that isn't or rebels against my organizing skills is my wife. She says, okay, I married you. I didn't marry an automaton or a computer. Yeah, so I'm. Yeah. How do you
see
where I'm going here?
Yeah, I sure do. So my wife's a pretty organized person as well.
Okay.
So that we're probably pretty compatible there.
You lucky guy. You built somebody that you're compatible with.
But I will share with you that I've got two kids, and I talk about these issues frequently at home. And my kids would tell you they're sick of me talking about them. But I think they've benefited from the conversation. So I'm going to keep talking about them, and they hear it whether they acknowledge it or not.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you found. And seriously, you found a solution to the family and to what you need to do and how you need to do it.
Yeah.
And you're not afraid to employ it, to put it in. And at this point, it's working for you.
Absolutely. But I think we also have to acknowledge for all of us, this is a journey, not a point in time. And so today it's working. I'm sure I'll have curveballs thrown at me in life. And the important thing is that you understand how to react to those.
That's Doug McCormick, folks. Somebody you should listen to. That's why he's here. This is Radio America. I'm Paul Berry. We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is author Douglas McCormick. He's a writer. He is a former Army officer. He is chairman of companies or runs his own businesses and has written a book called Family Inc., which I find very interesting. I have a copy of it, by the way. And I agree with you. It's a different way to look at how we organize and how we run our families. And what he's really taken is the principles of good business to the degree that it can maturate, can saturate the family without causing any negative feelings. I mean, and that's why I think you want people to read the book, right?
Absolutely. Yep. I think it provides a real valuable framework to have folks think about all the different financial decisions that they're going to make, identify the most important ones, and understand how they fit together.
You think every family should have a chief financial officer?
I do. I do. So, you know, my analogy would be if I told you I'm a small business owner and I have a chief financial officer that takes care of the financial decisions of the business, you would say, of course you do. You need that. Well, I think families are the same. And I think a lot of times families fall into a trap of they think about this person only making very narrow financial decisions like budgeting or investing decisions. But the family CFO's job is actually much bigger than that. It includes important things like choices about investments in education, choices about careers, choices about entrepreneurship, and also things like budgeting, saving, investing, and retirement. But it's a really holistic job of looking after all the financial affairs and all the big financial decisions that the family faces.
Which makes sense. I mean, because obviously the family, to survive, has to be wise about a number of things, including the careers and the importance of those careers, which you see as assets to the family.
Absolutely. I think, it's ironic to me that, you know, as you think about financial advisors, first of all, they rarely engage with young people because most young people have no money. And the way I look at the world, for most of us, our largest assets are our labor. And so if you invest in yourself through education and good career choices, your financial security is going to improve dramatically. And that's probably by far and away the most important aspect of achieving financial security or economic empowerment.
So you think that the budget is not necessarily the better way to go. A financial statement with all of the ins and outs, is that fair?
Yeah, so I generally am an advocate for, you know, certainly tracking your financial performance, but I find many times people get very detailed in their budgeting and they track every dollar and every cent. They spend a lot of time tracking it and not a lot of time changing behavior. So I find if you just track a couple things like how much did I save this month and of what I spent, how much is a fixed cost, like things like rent or a mortgage or a car loan, and how much did I spend on things that I can change month to month, like going out to eat and entertainment, that's pretty valuable. I would also say tracking your net worth. You know, how much do I have in investments and assets minus my debts? If you stick to those couple, you know, three or four big numbers, sure, that certainly tells you if you're healthy or not.
Well, Doug, are you really, realistically, what you're really doing is putting new names on old things?
To a certain extent. And I think I'm making them accessible. These are tried and true business principles that businesses have used for many, many years. And there's been a lot of rigorous thinking about these choices in business schools across America. And I'm trying to make those accessible to everyday families in a conversational format. Mm. I think there's all kinds of great writing out there on this topic. My complaint with it, though, is it usually falls on one of two extremes. It's overly simplified and very accessible, but maybe not rigorous enough.
Right.
Or in some cases, it's very good, but most people can't read it. And
right,
so I've tried to strike a middle ground of being rigorous, but being conversational.
And what about saving or investing? We call it savings. You call it investing,
yeah,
to some degree.
I certainly cover that as part of the overall program. And I think, you know, my quick takeaways is, in general, I'm an advocate for investing in yourself first. I mean, things like education, career, and entrepreneurship. And with what you have left over, the number one thing you got to do is have a contingency fund to be able to address those curveballs,
yeah,
we talked,
yeah,
about. And then what's left over, you should think about, how do I put that capital to work to support my retirement? And when you get to that point, it's very long-term in nature. It's very passive, lots of equity exposure with a real focus on minimizing fees and taxes.
You know what? And let me just tell you, from reading the book, what I have found about Doug's approach is that he elevates the simplistic approach to living to a level that requires some respect. Financial respect. You have to look at it a little bit differently, which is important, I think. It's the kind of respect that we should teach in school. If we were to give young people this kind of look and add these labels and this approach to each one of them, that when they come out of school, they have a whole different concept of this business of quote, family budget. They have now a concept of family investment and the role that I should play or can play in it. That's an important statement. Why don't we teach that in school?
Well, you know, I'm baffled by this. So couple statistics for you. We spend something like $600 billion a year on education in America. And of that money spent, something like 2 cents for every dollar is spent on financial education.
Yeah.
I would argue it's probably more important to success in life than a third year of high-level math or a third year of language. And we've really neglected it, I think, because people feel like it should be taught at home.
Yeah.
The reality is many families are not well-positioned to have these conversations at home either.
Well, and look, nobody's taught them. We give what I call, and this is when I get out my little soapbox and before we go to break, we play educational roulette in case they're going to be scientists or doctors or retailers or whatever. But the one thing we know they're going to be, it's a consumer.
Sure.
And we don't require that they even learn how to balance a checkbook in school, Doug. We're missing the point.
No, it's a real problem. I always like to say, if you think about your lifetime consumption, you know, something like 25% will be funded through your savings and investments. But whoever spent 25% of their time thinking about these financial issues, right? It's really very much neglected in most families.
My guest, as you can see, has got you in mind, Douglas McCormick, the writer. His book is called Family Inc. When we come back, we'll talk more about that. And obviously, if you're in the military, you make that transition, and you're more likely to be able to make the change. And if you make the change structured, you're more likely to be successful. When we come back, we'll ask him about that. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I am your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. My guest is Douglas McCormick, a writer, a businessman, a CEO, a CFO, and a former military guy that cares about the military and the transition from the military life back to being a civilian. Very seldom do any of us have a chance in life, unless we've served in the military, to make that change in our life, to go from being one thing to another and being able to invest new rules, regulations, or approaches. for the military person, it's a wonderful time to take stock of where you are and to say, okay, here's where I'm going and make those changes.
Absolutely. So Paul, I think just to kind of frame the conversation, I think many times as we think about successful transition in the military, we measure it by focusing on the negatives. And so we look at things like homelessness rates and we look at unemployment. Having said that, I would argue there's a whole population of veterans and active duty service members that can be more if they're given the right tools as they effectively transition.
Yeah.
And so
– and thank you for that. The word I was looking for was transition as opposed to translation, but transition from one to the other.
And this is a big transition. And I think there's lots of financial advice out there for all Americans, but I think we have to acknowledge that veterans leave service with some very unique assets – but also some very unique challenges. So, for example, veterans are usually start families a little bit earlier. They're more likely to have dependents. In many cases, they've been moving very frequently while on active service, and as a result, they don't have the same professional networks. And we know that they're bound to make a mid-career transition. 83% of veterans will get out mid-service, and when they do, they'll likely won't have many retirement benefits.
Right.
Now, that's changing given some of the new reforms.
Right.
But I think being thoughtful and having a transition business plan, if you will, as people get out, that covers all those unique situations that we just talked about.
When does that transition plan start? When should those in service now, should they wait 30 days before they get out? Or
well, the service is getting much better at this, and I think the overall approach is much better. So my flip answer is the day you get in, you should be thinking about financially preparing to get out because chances are you will, 83% do. And I think you can think about the way you prepare around a couple large topics. The first is ensuring flexibility. The number one thing that these veterans need to position themselves for is the flexibility to go find the best job and the best career or invest in themselves through education. I think acknowledging that veterans have unique assets, they have a great brand. I mean, people really respect the experience. They often have very relevant skill sets to business, and they have the GI Bill. I think arguably it's the biggest asset most veterans have when they leave service, and thinking about how to deploy all three of those. I think in many cases, there's a transition in understanding how to promote yourself in a business environment that is very different from one of service.
Sure.
And so giving veterans the tools to effectively articulate what their skills are and how they translate into business. And then the last I would say is I think it's a little bit change of mindset. I think in the service, we teach people to stay out of financial trouble. I.e., don't get a payday loan, get late on your mortgage. I think in the civilian world, it's a conversation around learning how to play offense and use your financial resources to become financially secure.
I think the point that we were making here, you're absolutely right in terms of kind of following part of the services lead. I think we can learn to be better managers, better financial managers in school. But we can also make that – we can learn more in church, in our religious – one of the areas where we really are dedicated to either by our beliefs or by the law, you got to go to school, that we just have to do a better job. At some point we've got to say the young generation, this generation will not grow up like generations past. This generation will come out of high school, will come out of church service, fully aware – of what it means to be an educated consumer. Mm-hmm. We still are not, even now, we talk and we've had these conversations and we still get into schools and one of the part problems is that the teachers don't know how to teach it because they've never learned. So, this has got to change.
Absolutely. Well, so if you boiled it all down, in many cases, financial security is simply delayed gratification and it's learning how to manage your assets relative to your desires for consumption.
Right? Where can I find your book?
You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's Family Inc., Using Business Principles to Maximize Your Wealth. There's a website, familyinc.com.
Douglas, it's always a pleasure. You're so about where I'm going with this show that it's easy for me to talk to you because you've gotten to where I want my audience to get to in terms of understanding the importance of the business.
Well, listen, I really appreciate the opportunity to have the conversation.
Come back anytime, sir.
All right, appreciate it.
Okay. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. I can't believe we've done another show, but here we go. I'll be back same time, same place next week looking for you.